K-Drama School, everybody. Welcome, welcome to K-Drama School. Lovely to be here. Happy to be here. Happy to have you all listening. Folks, did you buy my book? Sorry, is that too crude of me? Is that too, how do I say, self-serving, egocentric? Well, I mean, come on. This is my podcast. I can be a little egocentric, a little self-serving. That's okay, right? I was thinking the other day, actually, I was thinking this aloud in a therapist's office while getting EMDR done. And I was just like, why do I feel ashamed of the fact that I want attention? Why does anybody feel ashamed of wanting attention? Why do we as a society criticize one another or bully people who seek attention? And fundamentally, what is seeking attention? It's saying, please look at me. Please love me. That's all it's saying at the very, very foundational basis. All I'm saying is, please love me. Please love me. And what's wrong with that? What's wrong with saying, please love me? I was reading Bell Hooks's All About Love. And Bell Hooks is such a, I mean, she was, she's passed, but she was such a special kind of thinker in our zeitgeist, because she was just very bare, like to the soul, just saying, like, why am I being shamed for asking to be loved? It's like, you know, she wrote that book in her 40s. She's like, I broke up with my partner of 15 years. I'm devastated, but I still want love. Why is it like, why do people look at me weird for saying that I want love? So she just dedicated her whole scholarship to figuring out why and what is love about? Like, how do we become more loving and, you know, giving of loving, receiving of loving? How do we do that in a healthy way? Because fundamentally, I mean, that's what spiritualism is all about. Ultimately, it's like, I'm not getting what I need in my society and in my culture and in my family and in my work. Where do I go and get it from? So you go within. That's what spirituality is about. Not affiliated with any particular religion, but all spirituality is just going within, going deep within and searching for that deep within. And what does the voice say within? It just says, please love me. You know, that's what Tara Brach talks about. That's what Ram Dass talks about. It's what all the, you know, the educated hippies talk about. Except these kinds of hippies, the transpersonal psychologist hippies, they don't beat around the bush. Whereas in academia, I feel like there's a lot of beating around the bush. Like, none of us are brave enough to just say, please love me. None of us are brave enough to say, what is this all about? It's just, it's all about love. And nobody can say it. So they just mystify it with these terms that make absolutely no sense to the, you know, to the layperson. And the mystification happens. And then academia looks like it's big and scary and, you know, a threat to the mind, when it's not. It's really, really not. All of them are saying the same thing. They're just saying it's just love. It's all love. Anyway, please buy my book. And if you get my book, please give it some stars. Write a nice review on Amazon. I saw somebody like literally immediately wrote a review on Amazon, and it was like a weird one. They were like, this book is, you know, like, I wouldn't have bought this book if I knew what it was actually about. And it's like, yeah, motherfucker. Like, that's how it is with everything. I think Amazon return policies and all these things, like, I think they make us believe that we have the right to get exactly what we expect. Yeah, I think that's an interesting thing that's happening in our culture. Just because we do the research, and just because it's available on Amazon, and just because we pay a Prime membership, all of us assume and we believe that we have the entitlement, the right to get what we expect, get exactly what we expect, however we want it to be. And here's the thing, like, I'm the author of my book. And you don't have to agree with it. You don't have to agree with the title. You don't have to agree with the content. You don't have to like it. Hey, be free, man. But, like, don't think that just because you disagree with how things should have been in your world, don't think that that's how it should necessarily be in my world and how I execute my book. I mean, come on. That's wild as hell. But interestingly, like on that same day, the very, very same day, somebody else wrote a really lovely review. And I wanna thank that person because you helped me. You helped me get out of my mental funk. And ultimately, you know what? Like whether the reviews are good or bad or, you know, there are 0 stars or 1 star or 5 stars, it really shouldn't matter. How do I actually ultimately feel about this book? The way I feel about it is I did my absolute best. I did my absolute best. And as I was writing it, it felt like I was doing my best work at the time. And that's it. That moment has now passed. Now I'm in a different place. Now I'm a different human person. Now I'm a different being altogether. And if I were to write a book now, it would be radically different. That's my truth. That's the truth, you know? Like, we can't cling. We can't cling to the past. We can't cling to objects. We got to move on. And that's what this is all about. So for all of my listeners, those of you who were, you know, helping me, who were supporting me, rooting me on, cheering me on, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. Really, truly. Thank you to my listeners, you know, the ones who like email me, support me on Patreon, all of you guys. Honestly, you have no idea how much it means to me. And it's actually, you know, I know I've over the years, I've had moments where I'm like, I don't know if I could do this podcast anymore. I don't know if I can do this anymore. Da-da-da-da-da. You know, like even you guys just listening through that, and writing to me at times, and you know, it means a lot. It really, really does. All it shows me is like I'm still on this journey. I'm still on this journey of, you know, coming into being, gaining a stronger, sturdier self-belief, which I think will, you know, I'm just struggling with it, and some days I'll be struggling more than other days. But yeah. I think this past week after the book dropped a week ago, I was just like super emotional, crying a lot for various reasons, you know, like on the one hand, feeling like, oh, maybe it's not good enough. Maybe I'm not good enough. But on the other hand, also feeling very moved, being like, but I did do something, like I did achieve something big. I finished writing the book that I set out to write. And it served me. It served a great purpose as I was writing that book. And that journey is now over. So maybe I'm mourning the end of that journey. I don't know. And there was this one morning when I woke up, right before I woke up, I had this dream. Like, I kept hearing, like, you know, stop wailing, stop wailing. That kept going on in my head. And I was like, all right, wailing has two meanings. Wailing can mean like crying. You know, because I've been whining and whinging and crying a lot all week. So it could mean that. It could also mean like whaling, like the actual sport of whaling, you know, when you go and catch whales. And I was like, well, what's the biggest form of whale that we know in our literature? It's Moby Dick by Melville, who, by the way, died very underappreciated. Nobody liked that book. He couldn't get that book sold in an easy way. He had to jump through a lot of hoops. He was already in debt from his other books that didn't perform well. And, you know, like he had to rewrite it even after publication. Da, 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 da. He was somewhat scorned as a writer. And then after he dies, it becomes like one of the most revered forms of American literature, like of all time, like a canonical text. So maybe I was supposed to get that message. I don't know. We'll see, man. We'll see. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What it matters is that the book is done. It's out there. You can get it. You can write a nice review on Amazon if you so please. So thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for being on this journey of K-drama school, being on this journey of Grace Jung comedy. It's a lot. Okay, so you guys, as you all know, I've been watching, and I know you've been watching, the show Queen of Tears, written by Park Ji-eun, who has written multiple hits. She wrote My Love from Another Star, which also stars Kim Soo-hyun, and also the beautiful Chun Ji-eun. She wrote that show that flipped the world upside down during the lockdown, Crash Landing on You, starring Hyun Bin and Son Ye-jin, who became a married couple and then had a baby together. I mean, they really took fandom to another level, right? I mean, they delivered, like, literally. And Kim Soo-hyun returns to us in Park Ji-eun's next show, this current show, 눈물의 여왕, aka Queen of Tears. And I, you know, like, I appreciate Park Ji-eun's shows because they are all romantic comedies. They're fun. They're a good bag of chips. And, like, it's easy. It's easy. It's not that intense, you know? It's just, like, simple stuff. Simple stuff. Now, what I appreciated about this show is that the beginning, the pilot episode was great, you know? Like, we start out with this premise. Like, this guy, he's married to this really rich chick, and he's done with it. He's really sick and tired of it. He doesn't like how things are going. He's very unhappy. He wants to divorce her. But the night that he wants to tell her, I want a divorce, what happens? She is confessing that she's been diagnosed with a brain tumor and that she only has 3 months to live and she's about to die. What an excellent premise. What a great launching point, right? And I was like, wow, this is so original. I love this. And then I started thinking, I was like, wait a minute. I kind of remember this storyline. There's this omnibus film called Paris Je T'aime. I Love You, Paris. And there's a storyline in there. It's a short French movie. So, like, all the films in Paris Je T'aime are made by, like, very well-known filmmakers, and they're all, like, super, you know, they're like little short stories, like little novellas. Like, one of the stories, I forget who the director is. I know it's a French film, but basically this is the premise. A man is having an affair with a younger woman, and he's married to a woman, right? And he wants to continue having the affair with this younger woman, so he meets up with his wife at, like, a cafe or something. And the wife shows up wearing a bright red coat. And the moment she sits down, she starts to cry hysterically. And she says to him, I'm dying. I just got this cancer diagnosis and I'm dying. So the man has this moment and he breaks up with his mistress immediately. And then he nurses his wife till the end of her days. And then she dies. Yeah. One of the details I remember from that film is that he would read her Haruki Murakami novels, translated in French, of course, even though he himself hates Murakami novels. I thought that was, like, a really interesting detail. I was like, oh, how fascinating. How fascinating. And then she dies. And then the ending is, like, every time he sees a bright red coat, he just, like, gets super shocked because it reminds him of his wife and that day and that moment when he fell back in love with her and recommitted to her. So this premise reminds me a lot of that. And I was just like, wow, Grace, you've seen a lot of movies. I was like, you've seen a lot of movies. You've read a lot of books. You've seen a lot of movies, because goodness gracious. Because, I mean, this is a very provocative premise. It's fun. It's, like, it's perfect for a romantic comedy. It's got all the elements, but, oh, it's got this familiar bell ringing from somewhere afar. And it's from, like, 15 years ago when I was still in college. In any case, excellent premise, excellent takeoff. What did you guys think of the chemistry between Kim Soo-hyun and Kim Ji-won? Both of them are good actors. I think Kim Ji-won is a slightly better actor than Kim Soo-hyun in some ways. Because Kim Soo-hyun is, like, I mean, he's a decent actor. He's a great performer, but he's more of just like a pretty face. Like, he's more like a model type. Whereas Kim Ji-won, I get a very strong sense of like, oh, this is like a performer. She's definitely an actress. Kim Soo-yeon, however, what he's got going for him is he is hilarious. He's so funny. He's just like, I don't know. He's just really, really comedic. I remember seeing him in Running Man like 10 years ago or something, like maybe even longer than that, but like it was definitely 10 years ago. And Kim Soo-yeon was like in Running Man, and he was just doing like little bits and gags, and I was like, damn, this guy's funny, you know? He's like a playful, funny guy. And yeah, like Kim Ji-won is like not as funny. I don't think she's a very funny actress. Son Ye-jin is hilarious, you know? Even Jeon Ji-yeon, hilarious, but like Kim Ji-won, she doesn't have the funny bone. Like, you could see like how she's trying, right? Like, she's like affecting like this snotty, snooty, bratty, bitchy rich woman, you know, like CEO, like unfeeling power dynamic. Okay, got it. But like, I don't know, she just wasn't funny to me. So I felt like chemistry wise it was a little off, because Kim Soo-yeon is so funny, Kim Ji-won is not so funny. Kim Ji-won is like, she's better at the melodrama. Kim Soo-yeon is better at rom-com. So, like, that was sort of the vibe I was getting from this. I really loved watching Kim Soo-yeon's family. I really loved the writing of Kim Soo-yeon's character, too. Like, when he first encounters... well, let's call him Park Hyun-woo, because that's his name, the character's name. Park Hyun-woo, when he first meets Hong Hae-in, right? He thinks that she's broke because she has holes in her vintage outfits. He assumes that she's like, you know, she's never gonna make it in society because she doesn't know how to navigate an office and da 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 da. I thought like, oh my god, so naive and so sweet, right? Because like, oh, like she's actually this bomb ass conglomerate heiress and daughter. How? Okay, but this is like, I saw some article, I think it was like an Atlantic article, I don't know, but it was like one of these cultural criticism articles, and it was critiquing the movie Parasite and its production culture. By that, what I mean is, who is paying for the production of Parasite, the movie? Yeah. And with CJ Entertainment. Now, in this case, it's also CJ Entertainment. CJ Entertainment is developing a lot of the content that you see on television, mainstream Korean television these days, all right? They're like behind a lot of it. So if you see like even Studio Dragon is affiliated with CJ Entertainment. CJ Entertainment is affiliated with the CJ Food conglomerate. That is why when you watch shows like Our Blues or a show like this, you see like the Bibigo, like mandu, the dumplings, like the frozen dumplings and shit. You see all of those product placements embedded in there because CJ Entertainment is behind it, right? So these shows are another way to sell Korean products. And I talk about all of that in my book, K-Drama School, A Pop Culture Inquiry into Why We Love Korean Television. This is also embedded marketing. Now, the critique of Parasite was this. They were like, okay, you have this movie that won a bunch of Oscars. And it is critical of capitalism and its failures and its plights and the class differences and how like certain classes that are marginalized in society, they can never rise above a certain level. They can never rise above their poverty, yada, yada, yada. And this article was acknowledging how the film was, you know, successful at doing that particular kind of work. However, the article was also very mindful of the fact that, well, it's developed and produced and paid for by CJ Entertainment. And CJ Entertainment is linked to the Lee family, Chaebol, who are linked to Samsung, and that whole entire matrix of money. And they're like, you know, they're affiliated with a lot of corruption, a lot of scandal, all right? Like tax evasion, like lobbying, like influencing politics into the right wing. They got a lot of political and capital power that are subject to critique. But in a lot of these shows written by Park Ji-eun, and a lot of K-dramas in general, There is a fetishization of the wealthy. All right. There is this kind of like empathetic and compassionate view of the wealthy. Humanizing the wealthy. That's what's going on. So this show to me, Queen of Tears, was basically humanizing like this Chaebol family and all of their dramas and traumas. That's what it was about. Meanwhile, it was very critical of the poor, like these orphaned children who are abandoned by their parents. Like, oh, if you're an orphan and you've been abandoned by your parents, then you must be really out of whack and you're going to grow up and you're going to try and come after the rich people. How dare you? And then they all get locked up. They do time, like, right? And then there's just no kind of space or understanding of just being like, well, why do they get punished? You know, whereas like the rich with their tax evasions, with their flaws, with their problems, they never go to prison. They never go to jail. They never do time ever. You know, they always get off. But the poor, they always serve time, you know, and we see that with all three characters in the end, right? Including the evil one and the two ambiguous ones, the ones that were like morally, you know, a little ambiguous, but they went back and forth and eventually they were like on the good side, right? Quote unquote good side, meaning they were on the Chaebol side or the Chaebol like accepted them or whatever. So when it comes to a show like this, I do feel this discomfort looking at it just from like purely like, oh, this is like really entertaining, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, where is the critique of Chaebol families and their corruption and their scandal and their actual problems? Like, where is that? And I feel like Park Ji-eun's shows don't really do that. Like, they don't want to get all that serious into the nitty-gritty. This show in particular really victimizes the wealthy and the elite and makes them look very beautiful and, like, you know, like, idealizes them in a lot of ways. So I don't know, like, maybe this is just coming from a place of, like, where I'm at, like, being unemployed and being broke and, like, da-da-da. Maybe it's coming from that. I don't. Who knows? Who knows, right? Most likely is. I don't know. I don't care. But I did sense like a small jab of discomfort looking at the hyper fetishization of the rich and the elite, and putting so much effort into humanizing the rich and their pains, while dehumanizing or vilifying the poor. The poor whose like family associations are like broken. Like, for instance, you know, David Yoon, right? Like Yoon In-sung, his mom, right? The evil one, the quote unquote evil one, the evil mistress. Like, okay, she's a single mother, right? Like, we don't know who the father is. Like, they were a separated and broken family. And it's like, oh, if you don't know where your family roots come from, then everything about you is questionable. Like, you're just automatically a villain, right? Like, I mean, is this sending this kind of message? And I've noticed that in like a lot of the K-dramas I look at, whenever storylines do this, there is like a heteronormative standard or expectation. It's like, okay, heteronormativity is the goal. And if you are anywhere below that, like a single mom, broken family, orphan, then your roots are questionable. Then we don't know where you come from and you are immediately a threat or somebody to be suspected of. And this is something I talk about in my book a lot. So check out my book if you want to know more about this. In any case, yeah, that's my take on Queen of Tears. And I guess that's it, you guys. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week. I hope you enjoyed the show. I hope you love my book. So please read it. And please review it on Amazon. And thank you for your kind and loving support.